Sweat? You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Mmm. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hello and welcome along to our very first episode of Rugby Pod Sessions. I'm Andy Rowe and joined today by a friend of the show. It's England, Harlequins and British and Irish Lions prop.
You're nervous, aren't you?
Joe Marler. I am a little bit nervous
and
heading into this one.
You're putting on a voice as well.
I do put on a voice.
Your voice
to get through.
2 minutes ago was completely different to how you've just spoke there.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Do me beforehand, do me now.
You before is, so mate, how you been? You good? And now, so, mate, how have you been? You want some fish and chops with your beer? Your beer? How'd you say beer in Kiwi?
Beer.
Beer.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is dragging out because I've got to go home.
You've been doing a bit of pre-season, have you? Is that what you're doing at this time of year? What have you been up
to?
Yeah,
it's pre-season now.
How shit is that? Or do you enjoy it because you're not having to?
It's shit house, mate. It's shit house. It's the worst time of year.
Because I hear a lot about how, you know, it's a long season. Game after game after game.
Yeah.
But pre-season, isn't it just conditioning? You're in the weights room, you're going for runs, but easier on the body.
Oh, yeah, the weights is brilliant. Yeah, I love a bit of weights.
Do you?
But see,
couldn't tell.
Thanks, man.
You've been in the gym, have
Why
you?
Why are you getting closer to me? Why you just stay in your seat, all right?
Get your hand off my leg.
And as soon as they go, right, get your boots on, you know, I'll just melt.
Like, yeah.
Oh, my God. You've got to run the Bronco, do the Bronco test.
What's the Bronco?
It's a test.
Oh, is it like the beep test?
No.
What's it like? What do you do?
You just go out 20 and back, out 40 and back, out 60 and back.
Ah.
And you just keep going five times.
Shuttle runs.
I don't get it. Why they have to include the turns? Why can't they just say just run for 1,200 metres? If that's what that adds up to, does it?
Yeah.
Thanks. Real quick there.
Yeah, 1,200. Let's just find out a little bit more about you, about what, like, you grew up, what, playing in Sussex, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in Sussex?
Yep.
Started playing rugby, what, when you were 11 or something?
12, yeah.
That's pretty late. Yeah, so tell me a bit about, like, growing up at home, like, what was life like? Like, were you always wanting to be a rugby player? Were there other things that caught your interest? Or
no, I never really, it wasn't a dream to be a rugby player. I started late because I was into football. It was just... fat little kid that just liked being in goal five-a-side goal, because I filled most of it, you know what I mean? Never that interested. And then a mate of mine, my best mate, he said, oh, you're a bit of a lump, why don't you come down to Eastbourne Rugby Club and try it out there? And first session I started levelling people, legally and...
illegally, yeah.
Slightly illegally. So they were like, yeah, come back again, come back next week. This guy's a bit of rough, you know?
Mm.
So bring him back and just went from there. I was at Eastbourne, played every Sunday, and just did it for a laugh, really. It was never anything serious, never anything I took serious. And my dad was always a pretty relaxed character on that front.
Mm.
You know, he wasn't one of those pushy parents where you're like, you know, you've got to fucking go out there and go on, give it some, son. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he'd usually be in the bar with a pint of Guinness and he'd be like, oh, right, oh, he's playing over in that pitch. Yeah. I'll get over there in a minute.
We'll see him after the game.
Yeah.
He just wants to.
Oh, well done, son. I thought you were great. You weren't there, Dad. I didn't see you. He said, someone told me. Yeah, he was always quite relaxed. He said, if as soon as you don't enjoy it, mate, just pack it in.
Because
I do night shifts and I'd rather not get up on a Sunday morning to take you to rugby. So it was always pretty relaxed, and then it started getting a little bit serious, playing some county rugby, got picked up in the Quinn's, like, younger academy. They used to be called EPDG, I don't know what they call it now, it might be schools of rugby or something, but never hugely took it seriously because I wasn't out of rugby school.
Mm.
I was at a comp and football was there, so it was never something I thought would go far. And then a bloke called Colin Osborne who's recently left the club. He was academy manager at the time. Offered me a contract, moved me up to Twickenham when I was 17. Lived with a lady and her family up there. And then it got serious from there. So, I say serious, I mean...
State of you.
Yeah. Cut me deep.
I mean, you're a professional, we'll give you that. So would it be fair to say that you don't like to conform and you're known around the traps as someone that's got a bit of an edge, someone that's a bit different, that doesn't sort of want to toe the line like all the other rugby players? Would it be fair to say that?
Yeah, it's quite fair, isn't it? A bit of attention seeker. Yeah, a bit. Quite like the limelight.
Do you? Love the media?
Oh, well, it's a love-hate
It's a different story, isn't it? It's a different story.
That's a different story. But, I've always had that sort of edge about it. I was named, my nickname at my first rugby club was Psycho. I had a South African rugby coach there called Will Stadler, who, great bloke. Hello, my China. How's it, eh? Great bloke. Proper big, big South African.
Right.
Big tash on him. Huge. Anyway, he called me Psycho. And so the boys all called me Psycho. And we got round to having new kits made out. And he was like, right, should we get names put on the back? I was like, yes, of course. Mm. I want Psycho on the back. He was like, are you sure? Are your parents going to let you? I was like, yeah, get Psycho on the back, mate. It's my nickname. So a day comes around. We get down on Sunday. He's like, oh, guys, eh? Your shirts are here. You know, come see, eh? And pulls out the shirt and I turn it round. And I'm like, P-H-Y-S-C... Oh, is that how you spell Psycho? And we're looking at it, we're still young, we're quite not sure about the spelling. We're looking at it, and we look at it, and one of the clever clogs comes in, he's like, nah, mate, that's Fizco. And I went, what? He said, that's Fizco, and there's these bright yellow letters across my shoulders. Not even small writing. He's cut, instead of Psycho, trying to be mean and intimidating as a 14-year-old, yeah, Eastbourne Shark, Psycho, he's a nutter. I've got fucking Fizco written on the back. Couldn't get it off.
Oh, no.
So all the other teams used to take piss out of me.
Fizco.
Come on then, Fizco. Which probably contributed to me increasing the edge, you know. Fuck off, mate. Oh, doff.
And then you went and started getting some new haircuts?
Haircuts probably started about 16.
What's all that about?
What do you mean, what's it about?
Well, what's it about? It's different, isn't it?
It's just clearly attention-seeking, is it?
Okay.
Yeah. What's going on with your bonnet?
Mate, I've got shit hair. You've got great hair and you're fucking up with those. No, I
haven't. See, this is also a very clever ploy. I've got strong receding hairline. Yeah, I've got my dad to thank for that. And thinning, starting to thin really well. And one of the best ways to hide that is to actually shave the sides.
Mm.
You know, make out I'm choosing to recede like this.
Mm. But putting it in people's faces.
Yeah. No, the hair
wearing
starting
it with armor.
The what? Wearing it with armour.
Yeah.
Fucking melt.
You're the one doing it.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Fucking lad. It's just a bit of a fub, mate. Like, it started out not conforming, sticking it to the man.
Mm.
And the more people when I first started in rugby, first started at Quinn's, that would say, oh, look at your stupid haircut, why you get haircut, you know, the more I'd actually enjoy it and end up doing other crazy haircuts. But it could work both ways. You either end up, you're putting yourself out there to get noticed, but you can also be noticed to play like a fucking idiot as well
like
as playing. Do you know what I mean?
Or a Fizco.
Or a Fizco.
Yeah. Joe Mallet, that guy's a Fizco.
He's a right Fizco, that one. Oh, God, why have I told you that one?
As far as like, because you're known for your edge, you're known for your haircuts. Also, this is the rugby stuff, we'll get to that later. But known for being a bit of a joker, like, is that?
That's not true.
You're not?
No. I take my profession very seriously. What are you sniggering for? I'm not a joker. I enjoy a laugh.
Yeah.
But when it comes to rugby.
What about outside of rugby, though? Are you a bit of a joker or what?
No.
Like a bit of banter?
A bit of bent.
Bantosaurus, aren't you?
Bantosaurus Rex, mate. No, I like winding people up outside
right.
of rugby, yeah.
There we go. That's where we're getting.
My wife gets it quite a lot.
Does she?
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
We're keeping that in.
Fuck's sake.
So you like winding people up? You like getting under
people's
skin?
I'm a wind-up, yeah. My wife would describe me as a wind-up merchant. And now that I've got a young boy and a girl, but I now see my four-year-old doing exactly what I do now and used to do, and I end up having to try and tell him off.
Is it Jesper and Maggie, right?
Jesper and Maggie, right. Yeah. And, you know, it's quite hard to tell him off when he's doing it, because there's a big part of me that's like, oh, go on, go on, lad. That's great. You know, I'm giggling inside.
Yeah. You like winding people up as well when they're trying to take selfies with you, don't you? I've seen that firsthand.
That was not staged either. Well, he, you know.
So we're walking down the street. I'm like, Joe, yep. He comes over the street. I'm like, hey, Andy, Joe, yeah, what are we doing? Introductions. Then this group of obviously rugby fans spotted Joe. They're like, Joe, can we get a photo? It's a big group of them. One guy comes over. He's got the balls to come up and say to Joe, can we get a photo? Joe's like, fuck off, mate.
Let's just clarify this.
What did you say to him?
First of all, who are you talking to? Because I thought you were meant to be talking to me.
We're talking to
you're a, sounding like you're talking in the if someone else is in the room.
Okay, so.
But, so first of all, he went, oi, Joe! You know, and I'm having a conversation with you. And I'm like, what? He's like, can I get a picture? I said, no, fuck off. I didn't quite say, no, fuck off, like you've just described it. I went,
it's very similar.
Yeah, well, no, it's the same words, yeah. But it's the way you say it. Yeah, no, fuck off, mate. And then he kind of looked a bit perplexed. And I was like, come on, I'm joking. Yeah. Quick, I've got to go because Andy Rowe wants to pull my plonker in this weird studio. He's like, oh, yeah,
we're
I love
not
that.
There yet.
I love
we're
not that there. Andy Rowe. He's so funny. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And he got his photos, his birthday. Can't remember his name, but he was 26.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As far as, like, going out in social occasions with Quinns and with England, do you, like, let your hair down and get on the booze with the boys? Is that something that happens? Like, who are the big drinkers? Are you leading the charge or...?
No, I very rarely go out with...
I would have thought so. Very professional.
The Quinns boys. Well, not so much professional. It's just I live miles away from them all, and I tend to only partake in official social events that we have through the year.
Really?
There's a lot of boys go out together, either in their Guildford group or their Southwest London crew. And I'm not in either crew, you see.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I'm in the Sussex so Massive.
No, does that sort of bit of team bonding that you're missing there, or do you not need it? You don't need it? Or
no,
what?
I probably do miss out. I do miss out on a bit, yeah. Yeah. I'd love to do a bit more, but...
Who are the people that you like to go drinking with?
Danny Kerr.
Really?
He's great. He's great on the piss.
What makes him so great? Just good dancer? Just,
mate, I don't go on the piss with someone because they're good at dancing. How has that come in your head?
I've just heard he's a good dancer.
Oh, mate, who do you like going on the piss with?
Wasn't he on some...
What, because he's really good at dancing? Yeah, Danny, do you want to go out tonight? Because I want to stand by a bar and I just want to watch you dance. You're a weirdo, mate.
If you're
a weirdo. Yeah, weird fish. You are a weird fish.
If you want to... You know, go out with someone because they're a good dancer. It's okay, Joe.
I don't know where you're going with that, but no, that's a weird angle, weird fish. No, Danny, he's a great ball of energy, you know, so he's a good laugh to go on the piss with. There's a big lad, Mark Lambert, big fat lad.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty shit at drinking, so that's why it's good to go on the piss with him, because, you know, you can just wind him up.
Let's get on to rugby. Obviously, yeah. Do you want to or not?
Yeah, well, you might as well. It's called the rugby. What's it called? Rugby sessions.
Rugby sessions. Part of the rugby pod. It's rugby sessions. Let's get on to that. Obviously, everyone watches a game of rugby and sees the flashy try scored, and it's an easy game to digest or give your opinion on when you're talking about backs and forwards and people who make the tackles. But it's very hard to give your opinion on like what goes on inside the scrum. Describe what it's like to be in an England scrum for someone that has never been there? Is there a lot of talk going on? There must be, obviously, there's a lot of physicality going on.
There's less talk in international because it's harder, slightly more professional. And obviously with ref mics these days, you know, you don't really want to get caught saying anything untoward because it could be twisted in any way you want.
We'll get to that.
No. So you get quite a lot at club level. Dave Ward is unbelievable. Ridiculous, painful. You have to tell him, Dave, shut the fuck up, mate. Shut up. I remember two seasons ago, we were playing Montpellier at home. They had an unbelievable scrum. They had Bismarck Duplessis, Yanni Duplessis, and the Georgian Loosehead. He's bald, got a massive beard. And it was me, Dave Ward, Adam Jones. And we are getting licked out. Proper pumped.
You're getting licked out and pumped.
Licked out and pumped. Licked out. You heard that before?
Yeah.
Getting licked out.
Yeah.
And it's about halfway through the game, and Dave Ward is still in, like, he's not even good shit. He's bend over and he's going, flexion! And we're like, what? Plie! We're like, what, Dave? We're bending down. We're like, Dave, what the fuck are you doing, mate? Me and Bomb both leant over. Bomb's going backwards at a rate of knots, myself included. And we're like, can you stop fucking winding him up? We're going backwards quickly enough as it is. And he's still gobbing off at him. And he's like, all right, sorry, boys. We didn't even know what flexion and plie meant. He's off his trolley, mate. Best way to describe it is a bundle. Do you remember a bundle at school? You might have bundles. You don't.
What's a bundle?
A bundle.
Mm.
You know, bundle. Bundle. It's like where you see someone on the floor and then everyone just shouts bundle. And
right,
you go
and
bundle
you jump
on top
of
them.
Yeah.
So imagine you're that bloke at the bottom of it, but instead of school kids, you've got 15 sweaty, hairy men all in a confined space. Perfect if you're a bear lover.
Mm.
Not great if you're claustrophobic.
Mm.
So that's probably the best way to describe
Fuck it. Fuck that.
So
they must pay you a lot to do
too
that.
Too much. Too much. Too much, mate.
Fuck that. Fuck that. Has it changed much over the years? Like, because you've been propping for a while now. Is it the scrum, like, how's it changed for you? Is it getting easier or is it?
I'd say it's safer. It's safer now. I look back at some of the videos and you cringe at, oh my God, what were we doing? You're taking like a 10-meter run up and smashing into each other. Mm. And going, Christ, how have boys survived? How are their necks surviving that? So I think with the new laws, it's starting to get a bit safer. It's not getting any easier, but it's definitely getting safer. And from a Norsey point of view, we're getting a lot more completed scrums. And I know you as a Kiwi would be like, yeah, mate, get rid of the fucking scrums. There's no point in them anyway. We just want to play with the ball, you know, get it here.
The All Blacks scrum does all right, doesn't it?
Very, very efficient.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, they're probably number one in the world, aren't they?
What, as a team or the scrum or what? How would you?
Here we go. You know, the humble Kiwi.
Obviously,
as a team.
Yeah, would you?
And like, as a scrum, there.
What do you mean by efficient? Like
efficient.
I don't know anything about a prop.
Well, the whole point of a scrum is to
everyone go in the same direction, kind of thing.
Well, no,
the same
whole
thing,
point of a scrum is to restart the game, isn't it? And
yeah.
get the ball
to the back
out as quickly as possible,
yeah.
so you can attack. So you've got an advantage. So you've got your moves up against the backs. Do you know what I mean? All that sort of fancy shit.
Because everyone talks about the, you know, when they look at the All Blacks, they talk about the backs more than the forwards.
Like, yeah.
So
which is ridiculous because the All Blacks line out, their maul, their scrum. Like I said, it's extremely efficient. They're very good at manipulating where they attack in the line out. And the scrum wise, they're very good at getting the ball in and out as quickly as possible. Very rarely do you see them going backwards. And they've actually attacked a little bit more with Moody. In at Lucid. This is really nausea, didn't
no,
it?
No, it's interesting because it's not something we would hear it a lot.
Exactly.
Of.
With Moody really starting to what's the term? Come into his own. Come on his own.
Yeah. Very close. I think it's come into its own.
Come into his own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come it's, into his own. What does that mean?
I think he's beginning to stamp his mark.
Yeah, there you go then. What's so this? With Joe Moody starting to really stamp his mark, Mac. You know, even at a slight, you know.
Do you think he's like the legality of what he's doing is a bit off, or what?
I'm not questioning his legality. I'd say that it's very rare you see a scrum go forward completely straight.
Right.
You with me?
Yeah. So he twists it. So the other guy's maybe taking the foot off the pedal.
No. I'm just saying that if you want to. It's very rare you see a scrum going forward that's straight because it's that tight in there. You have to manipulate it in some way to try and get the other guy to move. And Moody at the moment he's very good. I'd say
making it go straight or
at attacking the opposition tight head.
So you're saying the scrum
sometimes
does
that's straight, sometimes that's slightly left, sometimes that
right.
You know he's not moving, and you know Franks is the one doing the job.
Yeah,
it's complicated, mate.
Yeah,
people think. You know, just bend over and push. More often than not, it is. But when you get up against some really good, smart operators, you've got to find ways to try and get around them.
Who's the best prop that you've ever come up against that really worked you over?
There's been a couple. I've been worked over quite a lot, mate. Quite a lot. Still getting worked over now. Carl Heyman, he was probably in the old laws.
He's a big unit.
He was a big unit. And what was most annoying about him was how he was legit. He never cheated. Right. There was never, ever an angle, really, from him. He was, what, 6'4"? 6'3"?
Yeah, something silly like that.
Giant bloke. And the old laws, all he had to do was hit you, and he stayed square, stayed straight out on you, just attacked the loose head. He was the best at it in the world. So that was pretty cool to actually experience that licking out.
Licked out by Cal Heyman.
That is an official rugby term. Well, it's a scrum term. That's a scrum term.
Yeah, I like it. It sounds good.
Thanks.
Good. No, I'm going to use it now and sound like I know what I'm talking about with the props.
And then the other one's probably Adam Jones back in 2013, mate. That last game of the tournament.
Yeah.
On for a grand slam. Wales had to beat us by like 20 plus points in order to get the championship. So it was very unlikely. We had to go there, win. I got absolutely hooned by Adam Jones. And you'd argue single-handedly cost England a grand slam that year.
Really? So you couldn't blame the guys?
Hauled off just after half-time.
Well, what was he doing to hoon you so bad?
Oh, mate, the bloke was ginormous. He was like 120 plus kegs.
Right.
I was a kid. I didn't have any answers to any of the stuff he was doing to me.
So what was he doing? And you're like, fuck,
I still don't have those answers, mate.
So you don't
He's never apologised. He's my coach now. He's still never apologised.
So you don't even know what he did?
No.
Just went backwards?
Backwards or down. It's just bad, mate. Bad. So them two are probably the best. I'm still waiting for that apology from him, but I won't be getting it. All right, but how about 2013?
So he still rinses you on that?
Yeah, he does bring it up.
Yeah,
at least once a week.
Because you look at props and you going into a scrum, and it looks like all aggression. Like how do you balance? Like, what's the balance between aggression and technique?
Well, clearly in open play, I haven't quite mastered getting that balance between aggression and level-headedness yet, but scrum time, I don't know. It's just...
Is it more technique or is it more aggression, more size? Like, what would you rather have?
The new laws rely a lot more now on technique.
Right.
The old laws where you could hit and chase, you just got big, big, giant men that if they're heavier than you and hit harder than you, then 9 times out of 10 they're winning that battle, but... Now with this sort of getting closer and closer to being pre-engaged, so you're losing that hit battle where you can hit someone to get moved. There's still an opportunity to try and move the opposition.
So
it's
the aggression is less in there.
Yeah, so it's then more about technique, getting that right, but backed up with the aggression to actually go for it.
Mm.
To actually, right, I've got under him here, so I'm going to go for it.
Mm.
So you still need that aggression in it. You've got to also be a bit weird to want to be in there and have that sort of one-on-one combat with someone who's trying to lick you out.
If you're still listening,
you've not fucking fallen asleep.
We've gone through
this
scrums.
This is a nighttime thing. I was signed up on the premise that this is to help people go to sleep.
Let's lighten it up a little bit, maybe with the New Zealand tour. How was the Lions tour for you? How great were the Kiwis? How much did you hate it? How boring was it? Or did you have a good time? Or tell me a little bit more about like your experience with the Lions in New Zealand.
Yeah, mate. New Zealand.
Tell me about it, mate.
2017. Hell of a trip. I don't want to give away too many stories.
It's going to be one.
I need them lined up. You know what I mean? No, we'll go with this one. We'd played the Hurricanes on the, was it a Tuesday night? Come on, you should.
Yeah, it was definitely a Tuesday. Yeah, it was Tuesday.
It was a midweek, mate.
Yeah, I remember it was Tuesday. Yeah.
I didn't play no Saturday, so I was a straight midweek veg.
Definitely wasn't the weekend game.
We'd had a few beers together and then a few more back at the hotel we're staying at. And it got to about, I'd say, 1 o'clock.
After bedtime.
Mm. It was late. We had a late start the next day, so it was fine. And I'd just, I remember being in the team room pretty steaming, having FaceTimed all the Quinn's coaches. because I'd FaceTimed the guy who was head of recruitment at the time, a mate of mine, to give him some shit.
Yeah.
And he was actually in a meeting with all the coaches. and decided it was a good idea to show them
shit.
All me pissed, you know. But I was like, oh, fucking hell. Ed, you've stitched me up here. Hung up. And then I was rooming with Dan Cole at the time. And I said, oh, Coley, I'm going out. He said, what? I'm going out. I've got to go get some chocolate and crisps. He's like, you're so fat, mate. You are so fat. And I went, yeah, yeah, I know. I'm going out. So I'd had I got normal clothes on.
Yeah.
You know, like the sweet gears I've got on today. No lines, badge, nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Incognito.
Yeah.
Civvies.
Like you're off to the beach.
No, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. Why would I be going to the beach?
Well, I thought you said you're dressed like that.
Plus, there's no beach in Wellington, is there?
Well, there is.
Is there?
Yeah, but you don't go to the beach in the winter there. Fuck that.
Anyway, I've gone down the road to the local garage, got a couple of bags of crisps and a chocolate bar, and then I'm still pretty pissed. I've then decided to go sit down and eat these bits and bobs on the side near the harbour. You know where the boat. You know harbour is.
I know what a harbour. Yeah, I know Wellington.
I can't remember the name of the place, mate. But it was near this harbour.
Right.
And I've sat down on the floor because there was no seats. Funnily enough, on the side of the street, and I've sat down on the floor and just munching away, bit of a mess.
Dribbling down your t-shirt, crisps in your beard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm half sort of sobering up. The cold air's hit me, and I'm like, oh fucking hell, I'm really pissed now. And then I noticed this group of three people, there was two girls and a boy, walking towards me, but not directly towards, from the side. And I'm lying there, and I'm slouched a little bit, and I'm in my normal clothes, just lying on the floor, eating me these crisps. And as they get closer, they start like making eye contact, and I'm like, all right, okay, they won't recognise me. No one in New Zealand is watching the veg.
They don't care about rugby.
They don't care about the midweek veg, mate. They're waiting for the Saturdays. So it's fine. And then as they're starting to walk past, I see one of them reach into their pocket and then just chuck a couple of coins down in front of me. And I'm like, I'm sat there looking up at the night sky, eating these crisps, and I've just had coins chucked at me as if I'm a tramp or a hobo. And it's just like the stark reality of, this is meant to be the pinnacle of my career. You know, I've been picked for the Lions. I'm on Lions tour. I've just drawn 31 all with Hurricanes in a hell of a game. Yeah.
Hell of a doozy.
Hell of a doozy. And now I'm lying on the floor in a harbour in the middle of fucking nowhere. And some bloke thinks I'm homeless and he's chucked a load of coins at me.
Bless him.
And I've gone, fuck me, I'm in a dark place. I need to get up and go back to the hotel. So I went back with my crisps, and that was a dark place to be, mate. Being confused for a hobo in the middle of Wellington.
My God.
Unbelievable.
Do you still look back at the Lions tour as a pinnacle of your career or what?
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I look back at the Lions tour with huge fondness, and I don't think I originally did. There was, you know, a couple of frustrations.
What were they?
Obviously not being involved in any of the tests, but my place never really changed. So I was quite comfortable in the fact that, right, okay, I'm third choice. I'm going as third choice before we got there, and it became quite clear that there wasn't going to be a huge amount of shifting in that team.
Right, and these two are big injuries.
Or someone's cocked up bad or something, do you know what I mean? Like George Cruz, for example.
Right.
Poor fucker. I'm not telling you that story.
What happened then?
Don't worry.
Go on, just tell us it. Mate, you're on fire, you're on a roll.
No, you're wasting it. But George Cruz, fall from grace. He'll know what I mean.
What did he do?
Well, no, he started in the first test.
Yeah.
He didn't start in the next two, did he? No, he came down to us veg boys. We welcomed him with open arms, to be fair.
How did he take that?
Took a huge hit to his wallet. Anyway.
But how did you guys welcome someone like that into the veg? Like, were you taking the piss out of him?
They got plenty of shit, yeah.
Really?
If you're a test boy coming down, you got plenty of shit.
Really?
Plenty of stick to begin with. And then, you know, once you got a few jars in you, it was fine. You know, Rory Best welcomed you and he was like, fine, you're one of us now. We'll keep working hard, playing hard. Probably a little bit harder for him, but...
Yeah. Did you, I heard that there was a bit of a thing with you guys in Wellington with when Caruso came in and you guys had to pay the bill, or when it came time to pay the bill and there was a couple of grand on the tab. what happened there, mate?
Yeah, so anyway, George Cruz, he starts the first test, doesn't he? He doesn't have the greatest of games, and he'll admit that. And we get in there for the review on the Tuesday. Yeah, team review on the Tuesday. And the coaches have come up. They're up front in the team meeting room. Big screen, video review. And usually on the video reviews, you've got tags at the bottom, little bits of writing with initials or something that reminds you or reminds them of what the clip is going to be before it starts. And this first one said GK, and it was a clip of Cruiser dropping the ball. Poor fucker. And then they went on to the next clip, and they paused for a bit, talked through the thing in, talked through what we need to improve in and all that lot. And then the next one was GK again, and we, you know, started nudging each other a little bit. You know, each sat next to each other, oh my God, here we go. This Cruiser dropping another ball. And then there might have been one that wasn't him, might have been someone else. And then the next one came up, and you look at the bottom left-hand corner, it says GK again. Oh, and you're like, oh my God, the poor fucker.
Are you guys all, like, giggling now, or are you going, No,
it's bad, because it's a serious review.
Yeah.
It's a serious review. You've got to stay focused with it. And then someone made a point about attack, how we needed to implement something different for the second test. And then went on for a bit, and Rob Howley was like, yeah, that's what we're going to bring in. I can't remember the... It was something to do with a short line of thing. And it was crazy, because then there was a little pause and they were about to move on, and Cruiser then decided to pipe up. He said, oh, I've got something, actually. You know, I think it'd be really good if maybe one of the backs came in and hit a short line instead of one of the forwards, just to help share the workload, which was exactly the same point as what had just been said by someone and the coach.
Oh, no.
And Howley's like, yeah. So what we've just said, and we're like, oh my God, he's having a fucking stinker here. And you start nudging each other again. And then the next clip came up and it's fucking GK again in the bottom corner. So we thought, oh no. So they cut it. You know,
they didn't play it again.
They'd already made their points or whatever. They didn't carry on with the thing, but the next clip was GK again. We're like, oh, poor fucker, he's had a tough time of it there. And then we were playing the game, midweek game. Who were we playing? It's all a blur, mate. It's a blur. It's quite odd.
So there could have been the Hurricanes, the Highlanders, the Crusaders,
the Provincial Barbarians. No, that had already been done.
It went well.
A win's a win, mate.
Exactly.
A win's a win.
A W's a W.
Christ, don't underestimate, you know, the Kiwi sides.
Yeah, exactly.
So the next midweek game, Cruiser's put on the bench with midweek, so that's a big sign. Hang on a minute. He's gone from the test and he's on the bench. You know, some boys have to double up, but you're like, the starters don't usually double up. And Courtney Laws had started the game and they took him off just after halftime, brought Cruiser on quite early. So he's played two games quite close to each other.
Right, so he's not playing.
And again, another sign. You're like, well, he's not fucking playing. No. Yeah, a couple of us turned to each other in the game and gone, oh, he's not fucking playing.
Actually.
And then we went out on the piss. Again, and we'd booked out. Gats had, to be fair to him, Gats had said, look, I want you guys to go let off some steam, because we hadn't. Go let off some steam. And Bestie booked out an Italian restaurant, but it was a bit of a weird one, middle of nowhere. We wanted to get away from the Kiwi noises. You know, there's mad Kiwi, you know, grannies know how well you've played at the weekend, don't they? Mm. So wanted to get away with that. Found this Italian place, got there, it was a shed. So there was a restaurant and then they had a shed in the garden. A literal shed, and it could fit about 10-12 people. And we all get in there. Bessie said to the waiter, he said, look, yeah, beers for everyone, and then just keep them coming. You know, as soon as you think they're finished, just keep them coming. So it was about every 6 or 7 minutes there was another beer put down, and you're like, oh my God, Bessie's knocking them back. Coley's like chewing through it. Oh, it's a bit gassy. It's a bit gassy, this. And Cruz is with us. You know, we're trying to drown his sorrows a little bit. It's blindingly obvious, mate. You've had a stinker in the first test. You've had a shocker in the review meeting. You're now with the midweek veg. But welcome. You're more than welcome to join us. And then get to the end. great night, and get to the end to pay the bill. It was about just over two grand. And
$2,000?
Yeah.
Oof. You guys Oosh.
And then
you guys are drinking, you're being lads, yeah.
So we all put in credit card roulette, as you do, you all put the cards in the hat, and it got down to me and Cruiser.
It's a credit card roulette. It's basically
their credit cards or debit cards in the hat, and you get the waiter or waitress to pick them out one by one. And when you're picked out, you're out, but you can't celebrate. If you celebrate, you're back in. So right. You just take your card, you're like, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. No high fives, no nothing. Do it. All right. It's brilliant when someone fucking forgets and they're like, yes! And you're like, put it back in now.
Because it's that drinking game where you play fingers. If you take your finger off and celebrate, yeah.
And anyway, it got down to me and Cruiser. And because it was quite a hefty bill, we were like, oh, fuck it, let's split it. You know, it's like, Cruiser hadn't said anything yet, but the boys were like, oh, they're starting to feel a bit guilty here. No, just split it between the two of you, then you can think. And I was like, well, no. And then Cruiser decided, Billy Big Balls. He was like, we're going down to it. I'm going to win this one. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, because you've had such a fucking cracking week, haven't you, mate? Waitress puts a hand in the hat, pulls out my card, and I'm like, oh, forget. Just sit back down. And his face, mate, the devastation in his face.
How did you not celebrate that?
I left it a period of time, made eye contact with a couple of the other boys, and we're just like, yes, yes. Poor fucker. And I think what made it worse was that we then told Steve Borthwick the next day what had happened at breakfast. And Steve's quite a dry character,
right?
Quite a serious guy, very good at what he does, but quite a dry, serious guy. Rarely see him laugh or break character. And we told him, and he died. He was just like, oh my God. And it turned out he'd text Cruiser later that morning saying, oh, how was dinner last night? And it was unbelievable to hear that sort of banter coming out of Steve's mouth for it.
Days.
So yeah, that was just a couple of the memorable moments from that tour.
Good tour then.
Oh mate, I loved it. Honestly, at the time there was probably a little bit. Yeah, when I first got back, I was a little bit disappointed. You know, I'd love to have played in the tests, and you know, probably a little bit bitter. You know?
Yeah, is it easy to poke holes at the coach or the people that didn't select you at that point? Because you know. It seemed like it would be an easy thing to do. Was that your first initial reaction?
Yeah, of course it is. Because you're like, well, they're in charge of selection, so they obviously, you know, don't like me or don't rate me, and you're like, oh, fuck them then. That's the sort of attitude, yeah, fuck it, I'll just, you know.
They don't like me, I don't like them kind of situation.
A little bit like that. But, you know, ultimately it was, you're never in control of selection, so you shouldn't get worked up by that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's up to, you can only try your best, and if you pick, you picked. If you're not, you're not. And as soon as you let go of that, you're a lot happier.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time I hadn't let go of that, but having looked back on it with fondness now, it was some of the best times in my rugby career, and I loved every minute of it. The tramp bit.
No, you didn't. How do you look back at the result of that tour? Do you think one each with a draw? Do you think that's a fair reflection? Do you think you guys should have won it? How do you guys look back at it?
I won't talk for other boys when you say you guys. You know, I always make sure that I say that. It's not talking for other boys, but I look back at it and I go, well, it's a bit of a flat one, isn't it? But you've also got to look at it. It's a weird one because the second test. You had the Sonny Bill red card, didn't you? So it was kind of like it wasn't a level playing field throughout, was it?
No, that's how. Yeah, I think that's how a lot of New Zealand fans felt during the French series when there was a red card.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you're like, well, you're like, shit, brilliant. You can't. If you win the game, you're kind of like, well, yeah, brilliant, we've won, but you can't be completely happy because you're like, well, I wanted to beat them. Fair and square. You don't want to give the opposition fans or them an excuse to go, yeah, mate, we only had 14 men, though. Is that good Kiwi or no?
Yeah, that's you nailed it.
Yeah, that's yeah, we only had 14 men, though.
Yeah.
Bro.
Bro, yeah. Brew is more South African.
Yes, my honour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a bit, but still a huge achievement for the boys that played in those test matches to go down there. It was just a bit, I'd like to see it in future if it does go down to the drawn game in the last one, extra time, mate. No one wants a draw, do they?
No one wants a draw.
No one likes a draw.
No one was happy about that. No, I don't think anyone in rugby was happy about that. No, they were like, well, so why not? There's an obvious answer to it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We ain't in control of shit like that, mate. We ain't getting anywhere.
All right, let's finish this off because we're running out of time.
Please.
And I know you've, you want to get out of my company.
Well, I just want to get out of London, mate. It's too busy. What is it, Friday?
So many fans out there trying to take selfies.
No, it's just too many people everywhere. Yeah. There's people everywhere. Does it not scare you?
Do you hate people or what?
I don't hate people.
You don't like being around them?
I don't like being around lots and lots of people.
Yeah.
I live where I live because of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening to our very first Rugby Pod sessions. And a massive thank you to Joe Marler for coming on, being our very first guest. Legend. Thanks, mate.
Cheers.